بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders Alhamdulillah we continue the discussion on قلب سليم which we had comments last week and we had discussed quite a bit regarding Qalbi Salim, the different tafsirs of Qalbi Salim and how important it is for a person to make sure that his heart does not become hardened and a person should remove from his heart hiqd, malice, jealousy, anger, pride, the shirk, the love of dunya. So in the tafsir of Qalbi Salim, we had explained that that person also who spends his wealth in avenues of piety, in good deeds. Such a person, if he spends his wealth in good deeds, in good avenues, for good causes, then on the day of Qiyamah, he will be excluded from those people whose wealth will not avail them. Whose children will not avail them. Allah says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ On the day of Qiyamah, person's wealth will not be of any assistance to him. He can have all the treasures of this world. And he can present that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. But that will not protect him from the fire of Jahannam. He can have a string of children. He can have many sons, strong, good, healthy, but they will not be of any assistance to him on the day of Qiyamah, and they will not avail him from the fire of Jahannam. Allah says, "Illa except man atallaha biqalbin salim, whoever brings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a sound heart." So in the tafsir we had explained that person who spends his wealth in good causes, then he will be amongst those people whom Allah Ta'ala will bestow or bless him with a sound heart, with a qalbi salim. And that person who does not have any batil, false aqidah in his heart, person has true aqidah, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah, in the tawheed of Allah, the majesty of Allah, and in the books of Allah, the angels of Allah, the messengers of Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, on taqdeer, destination, predestination, he has firm belief in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not have any false aqidah in him, then he will come with a sound heart. And then that person who does not have ghayrullah in his heart, he doesn't have anybody besides Allah in his heart. So those who have Allah in the heart, they will have qalbi salim. And then those who guide the children towards haqq, الَّذِي يُرْشِدُ بَنِيهِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ They guide the children to the correct way. And we discussed this in detail last week, how important it is for us to guide our children so that on the day of, in the dunya also they will become a blessing for us. They will become a source of the coolness of our eyes. And when we leave this world, then these same children will become a sadaqah jariyah for us. And a person who has qalbi salim is that person who is not overpowered by his shahwat, by his evil passions and desires. Such evil passions and desires that take him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pave the way towards Jahannam. So this person who has a sound heart is protected from such ghalaba of shahwat. And we explained that a person has one heart. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ Allah has not kept for any person two hearts. That one heart you can fill in this heart, the love of Allah, and the other heart you can contain the love of غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. No. In this one heart, we have to have only the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we explained like how the earth, we till the ground, the soil, and then we cultivate it, and then it yields a good harvest. Like this, the heart has to be cultivated in such a good manner, in such a way, that we find is only benefit and nur that comes out from the heart. Otherwise the heart will become hardened. And we explain, Allah Ta'ala talks about hard hearts. ثُمَّ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ. When the hearts become even harder than rocks and stones. When Allah says even the rocks and stones, we find that rivers gush forth from such rocks, some hard rocks, even from the mountains. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَهْبِتُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And they are such rocks that actually fall down out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine insan, he has such a hard heart that is even harder than the rocks in the mountains. He cannot even shed one tear in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we have to make sure that his heart becomes a qalb salim. A qalbun salim. It becomes softened for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must not become blind. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَلْ أَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَلْ قُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The eyes of the heart become blind. And on the day of Qiyamah, because in this world, the person ignored the signs of Allah Rabbul Izzat, the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so his spiritual eyes of the heart, or the spiritual eyes became blind. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him blind. And physically he'll be blind, he will not be able to see. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Allah, why did you raise me blind now? I was able to see in the world. And Allah will say, كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Today you will also be neglected. Why? Because you do not care and you do not bother regarding our ayat that came down. You showed complete indifference. So Allah says, now we will not cast any merciful glance upon you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make our hearts hard. And we have mentioned the hadith in the beginning in almost every program, that there is this piece of flesh in the body. If this becomes good, إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ, if this piece of flesh, this mudgha, it becomes good, correct, then the entire body becomes correct. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. But if it becomes bad, then the entire body becomes bad. The eyes will not see good. The ears will not hear haqq. The hands and the feet will not touch and not move towards haqq. Therefore, we have to cleanse our hearts before these hearts become sealed. Rasulullah ﷺ had mentioned that when a person sins, then there is a dark spot that comes onto his heart. Now you and I cannot see this dark spot coming onto the heart. But this is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, and you should believe in it. And this dark spot, it grows in size when this person persists in that particular sin. And if it is not cleansed and polished, it just grows larger and larger until it covers and seals the whole entire heart. So at such a time, Allah Ta'ala seals this person's heart in Allah Ta'ala, in His anger. And such a heart can never turn towards righteousness. Person will not be attracted towards salat, towards good deeds, towards tilawah, towards dhikr. All the time, as we mentioned last week, that he will be drawn and attracted towards filth, towards zina, towards riba, towards cheating, deceiving, fraud, lying, harming people. But that person whose heart is salim, sound from malice, pride, anger, jealousy, and he has Allah in his heart has become softened, his akhlaq will soften, his akhlaq will be polished, because his heart is becoming polished. And then he has his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every time this black spot does appear because he slips and he makes a sin, immediately turns to Allah and he cleanses and he polishes his heart and he removes the stain from his heart. We are human beings. We do commit sin. And we make many sins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to cleanse our hearts. So cleansing the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanses the heart of all darknesses and illnesses when the person humbles himself and he repents sincerely from his sins. And this tawbah and istighfar is not only for certain occasions when the person goes for Hajj and Umrah, Arafat, he will cry. Or on a big night, auspicious night, a person cries. Or in the month of Ramadan, no. A believer, he is so worried that this black spot settles or has settled on my heart, immediately he wants to wash this black spot off his heart. He wants to get rid of this black spot. He wants to cleanse and purify his heart. He wants his heart to be shining. He wants his heart to be bright. So he makes sincere tawbah, and this is the polish of the heart. So that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was once commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wash his heart. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was perplexed at his command, and he asked, how was this be possible since water could not reach there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said that the heart is not cleansed by water, but through weeping in repentance in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart can only be cleansed if the repentance is sincere. It must be genuine tawbah, genuine istighfar. Person made a guna, it's not the end of life. He should not lose hope. But the person must go and make sincere tawbah. And he must be genuine and sincere. And he must abandon that sin. He must feel that nadama, that pain, the regret. And he must make that firm resolution and promise not to go back to the sin again. The black spot has appeared. And what is the cleanser? What is the polish now? This sincere tawbah, sincere istighfar. It is not possible for a believer just to continue his life and without any tawbah and istighfar in his life. No. Rasulullah made in one gathering, the sahaba heard, Allahumma inni astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, 100 times, 100 marra. And he was the Rasul of Allah. He committed no sins. He was sinless. Despite that, he still made istighfar to teach his ummah how important it was to make this istighfar, to make this sincere tawbah, and to have this penitent heart, and to cleanse and polish his heart. So the heart can only be cleansed if the repentance is sincere. This is where we fall. And this is where we fail. We make some guna and we say, okay, we must make tawbah, istighfar. But when we are making the tawbah, we are not genuine, we are not sincere. And we are waiting for another opportunity to commit the sin again. A person is sincere, then he will shed those tears of nadamat. He'll feel miserable. And he'll feel ashamed and embarrassed that how could I commit such a sin and disobey my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was watching. If one weeps sincerely in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be forgiven of his sins, then surely his heart will be cleansed. And when the heart has become cleansed and pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person tawfiq of doing good deeds. And nur will come into his heart. Light will come into his heart. The person himself will feel lighter. Sins are heavy. Sins are like huge mountains on a person. The person feels miserable when he commits a sin, when he commits a guna. But when he makes sincere tawbah, he'll feel lighter. When he sheds those tears, he'll feel much better. That miserable feeling will disappear. And it will immediately spur him on now to do some good deeds. He will read some, engage in some nafil salat. He will make some dhikr of Allah. He will read tilawat of Quran. He will feel humble. He will feed the poor and the needy. He'll have a very soft heart. And the sustenance of the heart, just like how the body requires sustenance, the heart requires sustenance like the physical body. If the body is not nourished with the specific sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, it will grow weak and unable to function. It's a simple logical thing. So just as the body requires some nourishment, the soul also requires nourishment. And the sustenance of the heart is righteousness, piety, good deeds, righteous deeds. And these incorporate acts of righteousness such as sitting in the good company, or sitting in good company, sitting in the company of ulama, making the dhikr of Allah Rabbul Izzat, adhering to the laws of Sharia. Why do we find ourselves finding it so difficult to practice on different aspects of Sharia? It's very difficult. Ooh, that's not for me. It's so hard and I've got to give zakat and fast in the month of Ramadan and Hajj and so many difficult things. Because the heart is not cleansed. The moment the heart is cleansed, it becomes pure, then all these acts and all these deeds, righteous deeds, become very, very simple for the person to perform. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. So the heart's polish, everything has a polish that causes it to shine when applied on it. We have polish that we apply on the shoes, it makes them shine. Clothes become bright and clean when they are cleansed with certain types of liquids and soap. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ السَّقَالَةِ وَسَّقَالَةُ الْقُلُوبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. That the polish of the heart, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this heart that is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become free from darkness, zulumat. The gatherings of the friends of Allah, the people of Allah, are so miraculous that the sins of all those who attend shed like leaves in autumn. So this is one blessing of being in the righteous gathering, that the gatherings of the people of Allah are so miraculous that the sins of all those who attend shed like leaves in autumn. Dark hearts are cleansed by the remembrance of Allah that is practiced in such gatherings, and dead hearts are awakened once again. Of course, a person has to sit with ikhlas and with the niyat of islah. So when you sit with the niyat of islah, that I need to reform myself. I need to reform myself. I need to cleanse and purify my heart. I need to connect to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then person's sins are all shed. And automatically he finds that his heart, which was dead, suddenly it becomes alive. A man came to Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayh in his gathering. Said to him, Hazrat, what has happened to us? And this is the common question we all ask ourselves. What has happened to us? It seems that our hearts are asleep, because your insightful words have no effect upon us. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayh, conducting his gathering and sharing gems, pearls of wisdom, is giving them advices of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and teachings of Sharia. So the person is honest. He says, Hazrat, what has happened? We sit in your company and we are not moved, or we don't find any change, any effect on our hearts. It seems as though our hearts have fallen asleep. Hazrat Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah replied, even the sleeping, even those who are asleep, awake when shaken. Person who's fast asleep, you shake him, immediately he gets up. If you are still unaffected by rightful guidance and not moved to repentance when entering the gatherings of the righteous, then your hearts are not asleep, but your hearts are dead. Your hearts are not asleep. Person who's asleep, you shake him a bit and he'll awaken. But a person whose heart has become dead, like a dead person, you shake him, how much you want to shake him? He's gone. He's left this world. He's not going to wake up. So exactly like that, the hearts are not going to sleep. They have become dead. So many people go through the motions of a human being from the outside. Outwardly, they are human beings, eating, drinking, etc. But indeed, the person on the inside has the face and habits of a monster. They eat, drink and sleep. But the person inside is asleep and oblivious, having a true human face on the inside, just as the person has outside a human face. If it's a true human being, then it is a special blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The poet says, look deep inside and see what lies therein. If not true to me, at least be true to yourself. Everyone should develop the habit of self-evaluation. Person has to make muhasaba of himself and check within himself that, do I have those bad habits and character? Am I true to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I sincere? Am I just outwardly a human being? Or am I true insan? Insan in the real meaning of insan. Am I a person who hurts people? Am I a person who harms people? Am I a person who gives people taklif? Do I cheat and deceive my customers? How do I behave at home? Am I harsh and cruel to my wife and children? How do I deal with my seniors, with my parents and my relatives, and with the young ones? These are things for us to reflect upon. And then we got to evaluate ourselves and check genuinely, sincerely, and give ourselves marks, but don't favor ourselves. Be true and sincere. And see how much of Islam do we have within ourselves. How much of Shariat are we practicing upon? And compare our akhlaq to the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the akhlaq of the Sahaba. And check how much of love we have in our hearts for the dunya, and what type of love for dunya did they have in their hearts. How much of humility do we have compared to the humility they had? Let us compare and contrast and see. So everyone should develop this habit of self-evaluation, because one only sees one's true picture when one looks into one's own heart. If you're sincere, genuine, and you make an introspection of yourself, and then you'll be able to evaluate and see exactly what am I doing, where I'm falling short, where I need to improve. Only then will a person realize what he should be and what he currently is. Just exactly like how Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say about cataract. So Hazrat Mullah Zulfiqar Sahib mentions cataract over the heart and its cure. He says, just as cataracts impair a perfectly functional eye from proper sight, comparable cataract of sin descends on the heart that prevents it from distinguishing right from wrong. So this heart is so important. This piece of flesh has to be pure all the time. There's a dark spot that appears inside, it has to be cleansed. And if there's some covering that's coming over it, then it has to be removed. Otherwise, this covering will shield, will cover this entire heart. And the person will not be able to see the truth. As we mentioned previously, the dua, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa, warzuqna ittiba'ah. Allah, make us see haqq to be haqq, and give us the ability to follow it. Wa arina al-batila batila, and make us see falsehood as being falsehood. وَرْزُقْتَ اجْتِنَابَ, and help us to refrain from it. But if a person's heart has become covered, he's like a blind person, and he will not be able to see haqq to be haqq. In fact, he will see truth to be falsehood. And he will see falsehood to be truth. And he will not be following the straight path. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So the person, with such a screen over his heart, what happens? He's got no ta'alluq with Allah. He's got no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he misses his salat. He commits other major sins, serious sins, without an afterthought. Nothing stirs him. He's not bothered at all. He commits the most heinous of crimes and sins. There's no frown on his face, there's no nadamat, there's no pain in his heart. It's like normal to him. Rasulullah said, the angels run far from the stench of a lie. When a person speaks a lie, it actually causes so much of stench and odor that those angels who were near the person, they actually flee. They run away. They move away. Yet such a person lies with impunity and neither senses any wrongdoing nor the stench that the angels run from. The angels are moving away from him, but he himself will not even smell that odor and that stench. And he is not shaken, nothing happens to him. Absorbed in themselves and their life of sin, such people wander aimlessly, increasing this sin. May Allah Ta'ala save us. This is something extremely important, extremely serious. When a person has such a life of sin, ma'asiyat, disobeying Allah, breaking all the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when this heart has become covered, there's a ghilaf over it. There's a ghilaf, there's a cover. So what will happen? He will just perpetrate and commit sins, he'll violate and he'll flout the laws of Shariat, and he will not be bothered. He won't be perturbed. And he will just live a life of no direction. He has no direction. His qibla, that needle is not moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he'll be oblivious to the fact that the earth is actually screaming to Allah for permission to swallow him. The earth is begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, give me the order, the hukam, I would like to swallow this person." And that is why in the hadith of Rasulullah, when an evil person passes away, person who disobeyed Allah, and when he is buried, then what does the qabr say? Out of all the people who walked on me, the earth will say, out of all the people who walked on me, I hated you the most. Why will the earth hate such a person? Because this person who was walking on the earth was one who had no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was not a lover of Allah. He was an enemy of Allah. He was not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was just obedient to Allah Rabbul Izzat. He did not bother to cry those tears of repentance and change his condition. So he just sunk deeper and deeper and deeper into this mess of sin. So people with cataracts over their eyes go to surgeons to have the impairment removed so that they can see properly. In the same way, those with similarly hardened hearts should retreat to gatherings of the mashayikh for spiritual treatment. And yesterday, mashallah, we heard Hazrat Mahabullah Amin Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, may Allah Ta'ala accept his bayan that he had here, especially many people benefited, alhamdulillah. So these with the mashayikh, as we've gone for spiritual treatment, in such glorious company, the hardness of the heart melts away. And believe me, this is the truth. Many great people who have, or when they come, and they just, and we sit in the company, they hardly even say a few words. Many of us have experienced this. They hardly have said a few words. And still we feel something happening in the heart. Something is happening in the heart. And sometimes we are sitting there and we just shed tears. And in those gatherings we begin to reflect over our sins and our weaknesses. And then we begin to make promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Ya Allah, I'm going to change my life." Why? Because when he has come into this type of gathering, a pious gathering, with these mashayikh, the genuine ones who have genuine love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who are bothered about their own reformation, and concerned about the reformation of the ummah, then when people sit into their gatherings, then immediately, this hardness of the heart, no matter how terrible the person is, no matter how his life may have been, there have been people who have committed zina. There are people who have done the most terrible things in life. But when they came in the company of such people, that hardness began to melt away. That hardness of the heart melted away. And again, after tawbah, istighfar, and when the person is genuine and sincere, and now he takes the remedy, what is prescribed to him, the medicine that is prescribed to him, the spiritual medication, and now he makes an effort in the right direction, then again he is able to see properly. And he enjoys his life. Now he wishes to, for his friends and that bad company that he was with, he wishes to pull away those people from that bad company. And he tries to bring them onto also the path of deen. There were two people in the time of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a very lengthy incident, but just the gist of it. Umayyad bin Wahab and Safwan bin Umayyah, they were both mushrikeen. And after Battle of Badr, they were sitting in the Hatim and they were talking. And Umayyad said, "You know, that had it not been for the debts that I owe people and the debts that I have and so much of things to sort out and I've got family and children, I would have gone and I would have sliced the head of Rasul of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would have killed him." So Safwan bin Umayyah says, "I will take charge of your debts and your family and children. You go And don't worry, I will look after your debts and I will pay them off and I will look after your family and children in your absence. Because both had lost members of their families in the Battle of Badr. So the lengthy incident, Umair goes and he has a sword and he's got poison in it. Subhanallah. As he just comes into Madinah Munawwara, right there, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu sees him. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, you see, when you have a pure heart, a clean heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills that heart with nur. Then you are blessed with firasa. And that is why the hadith is, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. That keen eye of the believer, beware of it, because he is seeing with the nur of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And he says, definitely, this guy has come with some evil intentions. He goes and he grabs him. And he drags him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sees this, says, Umar, leave him. And then he comes forward, Rasulullah brings him forward. Why have you come? He says, no, one of my connections has been taken as a captive. I wish to ransom him. Nabi Sam said, no. What about the plan you and Safwan had made in the Hatim? And the plan and the plot that you have to come and kill me. When he hears this, he takes a qasam that no other person was sitting there. It was just two of us. Then definitely you are the Nabi of Allah. And it's a long story. He brings the iman. He declares the shahada. Now the moment he declares shahada, when a person becomes a believer, al-islamu yahdimu ma qabla. When a person brings Islam and he's sincere, genuine, now he's a believer, all his past sins are forgiven. So now his heart becomes pure. And when the heart has become pure now, and this person has made sincere tawbah for his life of ghaflat, ignorance and kufr and shirk, now he's in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's prescribing to him medication and teaching him salat, etc. Immediately after that, he says, Ya Rasulullah, now let me go back and I wish to invite my friend to Islam. And all the wrongs I did in all those places where I tried my level best to hurt you, I want to go and rectify myself now in those places and I want to do good. So when he goes now back to Medina, in the meantime, Safwan bin Umayyah is so excited. He's telling the people, we're going to hear some great news and everybody is going to rejoice now. Such news that you never heard in your life. He's thinking that Rasulullah has been assassinated. And when Umair bin Wahab comes, Safwan looks at him. But when a man changes his life, person had no beard, nothing, he goes for Hajj and he comes back and you see he's got a beard and you see nur on his face. You see, this man has changed his life. He goes in Jamaat 4 months and he comes back. You can make out the change. He goes to the Khanqah or he sits for itikaf for a period of time when he makes this mujahada. People can see the change. So, when Safwan sees this Umair's face, immediately he becomes a bit concerned. And says, his face is looking different. Why? Noor has come into his face. And Umair bin Wahab says, I have declared the Shahada, I have brought Iman, I'm a Muslim. And you too must accept Iman. He said, you're a traitor. And he began to swear to me, I'll never talk to you the rest of my life. And the point I was going to, what I was emphasizing on, is that when a person changes his life, then Noor comes onto his life. And now he's bothered, he's concerned. He wants to change that evil company, those friends. He wants to bring them also back onto the right path. Why? Because he's enjoying some type of nur and ecstasy. He knows that those people are deprived of. And he does not want them to continue a life of ghaflat and sin and filth. And he wants them also to enjoy this life of purity. So he makes a great effort, he tries, but Safwan bin Umayyah refuses to speak to him, to even have any interaction with him. And after Fatih Makkah, so many years go past, and when Safwan bin Umayyah and his slave, they decide to, or he escapes, or he flees, and suddenly, Umayyah bin Wahab pursues him. And from a distance he sees, asks his slave, who is it? He says, it's Umayr. He said, oh, this man, he's come to kill me now. As he comes closer, he says, listen, Safwan, I've brought to you amnesty from Rasulullah SAW. I spoke to Rasulullah SAW. I told Rasulullah SAW. He went to Rasulullah SAW. I've got this friend, Umayr. And he has fled Makkah. And I wish that he also brings Iman. Will you give him amnesty? Nabi said, no problem. So he pleads to him. He says, no, you are lying to me. What's the proof that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given me amnesty? Give me some proof. He said, there is his turban. Nabi Sam gave his turban. He said, take my turban as a proof that I have given him amnesty. He looks at the turban and says, yes, this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's turban. He says, okay, but I'm coming with you. And he comes. At that time, it was Asr Salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba were reading Salat. And Safwan bin Umayyah watches. He observes the beautiful Salat of Sahaba behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a Salat it is. Their Salat was not like our Salat. And he was moved. Asr Salat, no Qirat loudly. Loud Qirat. Asr Salat. And he was moved by the Namaz. So he asks him immediately. He says, oh, Umayr, how many times do the Muslim pray? He says, 5 times. Immediately after Salat, he was still mounted on the animal and he shouts, Ya Muhammad! This is Umayr saying that you have given me amnesty. Is it true? Nabi said, just mount. Let us talk. He said, no, tell me first. You have given me amnesty for 2 months. Is it true? Nabi said, what 2 months? Take 4 months amnesty. 4 months amnesty, nobody will harm you. He says, okay. In that 4 months, he lives with Rasulullah and the Sahaba. He's not a believer. He's a disbeliever. But the company he was in, of people with absolutely pure hearts. So he was affected. And they're now in Hunain. The battle of Hunain is taking place. And they come through a valley. And suddenly he looks on either side, he sees a flock of sheep. And he is wonderstruck by the sheep. And Nabi Sam sees that he is looking at, admiring the sheep. He says, Safwan, you wish to have all this? He said, are you joking with me? Are you serious? Of course, I'm serious. You want all this? It's yours. When he sees this akhlaq of Rasulullah ﷺ, immediately he embraces Islam. And he also becomes a Sahabi. And his heart also becomes pure. And the point I was mentioning was that when a person changes his life, and previously he was an addict, and he was drinking, and playing cards, and gambling, and womanizing, a life of zina and filth, and pornographic material, and just in the movies, in the disco clubs, in the rave clubs, and no salat. But the moment he changed his life, and he showed genuine nadamat, and he cried sincerely, and he was sincere, and he was genuine to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Allah loves us. And Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah loves those who turn sincerely to Him and make tawbah. All the time. Often. So when this happens, Allah Ta'ala blesses him. And then his heart is now brightened. And then he pulls the others also towards the right path. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. This deed is not just for ourselves. For the entire ummah. When we find some benefit in some good aspect of deen, then encourage others also to join. As long as that act of deen is something which is sanctioned by Sharia. So, people with cataracts over their eyes go to surgeons to have the impairment removed so that they can see properly. In the same way, those with similarly hardened hearts should retreat to gatherings of the mashayikh for spiritual treatment. In such glorious company, the hardness of the heart melts away and the heart again begins to see properly. In the majority of cases, the rebellious and astray who come into the company of the friends of Allah find their entire lives going through a revolution and change in one instant. Just in an instant, their whole lives change. Or after a mere glance from the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, destinies are thus changed in mere moments. The glance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before being liberated by the glorious light of Islam, The Sahaba had been lost souls, drowning in every type of sin. Just like the rest of Arabia. We know, in pre-Islam, the time of Jahiliyyah, people would bury their own daughters alive, and there was so much of drinking, and there was so much of gambling, and looting, and killings. It is mentioned in the books of Seerah, if the neighbor's camel had to come into this person's farm and just graze for a few moments there, it will actually start a war. And the war won't be for 1 or 2 days, for years. The children and grandchildren will continue fighting. Liquor was so relished by the people. When a child was born, in Islam, when a child is born, we make tahniq. We put some khajur, rub some khajur dates on the palate of the child. But in time of Jahiliyyah, when the child is born, they would actually give the child some sips of alcohol and wine to drink. This was the condition. But when the remarkable gaze of Rasulullah his fell on these people, and when they brought Iman and they came in his company, this mere glance washed their souls clean and made them shining examples for all humanity. Of course, this was in most of the cases, this was happened. But there were those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bless with Iman. Hidayat is only in His hands. And Allah mentioned, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشْهَى. But of course, the glance of Rasulullah s.a.w. Can you imagine the heart Rasulullah had? The purity of his heart. And Rasulullah also underwent shaqq sadr, where his heart was split. And it was cleansed. Few occasions. What type of heart, what type of nur must have been in his heart? They say in the fabric business, there are those who make the color for the fabric, those who apply the color to it, and finally those who sell or distribute the fabric. The Quran and Sunnah are different shades of the same color made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mashayikh apply it, whilst the ulama distribute it. The mashayikh apply the color of the Holy Quran to the hearts of those who seek to rectify themselves. Allah says, Sibghatallah, wa man ahsanu min Allahi sibgha. That we take our color from Allah, and who is better than Allah at coloring? We should seek out the gatherings of the mashayikh and strive hard in the remembrance of Allah. We have to struggle to rectify our hearts until the time of death, because if we are successful in this any time before death, then life's goal has been achieved. But when mort is going to strike, nobody knows. And therefore, in the example as one I was giving yesterday in the hadith, that how does a person make out the nur is coming to his heart? What is the alama? At-tajafi an dar al-ghurur, refraining, remaining aloof from this world of deception, wal-inaba ila dar al-khulud, and turning towards the hereafter, jannat, and wal-isti'adadu lil-maut qabla nuzuli, preparing for maut before maut comes. So just as we do not know when maut is going to come, we have to prepare immediately. Man's lifespan. We delude ourselves into thinking that we will repent for sins at a later time. I'm still young. I will make tawbah istighfar later. And then we delay the repentance, thinking that we have plenty of time. Unfortunately, we fail to realize our lives are short and can end any time. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah used to say, "Oh friend, the cloth from which your burial shroud will be cut may have already reached the market and you remain unaware." So if importing it from China, wherever it is, it may be already in the bazaar. Allah knows best. So we do not know when this moth is going to come, and when our ghusl and kafan will be made. So we have to prepare immediately. Rasulullah once asked the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, what is the approach towards life? Somebody said, I wake up each morning not knowing if I will live to see the night. I wake up in the morning and I don't have any barosa whether I will see the night. Another Sahabi said, when I prepare myself and make intention for prayer, I do not know if I will live to complete it. Rasulullah then told them that his attitude towards life was, and this was what everyone's attitude should life should be. He said, when I end my prayer, reading salat, when by making assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah on the right hand side, I do not even know whether I will have the chance to complete the salam on my left. And this is our attitude, how our attitude should be towards this life. That how long is the salam on the left hand side after the right hand side? It's immediately. So this is our attitude towards our lifespan in this world. This is how it should be. People who commit sins with the intention that they will repent later and then delay repentance thinking their life is long and to be pitied because they are lost. They are to be pitied because they are lost in deadly delusion. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, subhanallah. Outwardly, color he may have been an African slave, but look at his connection with Allah. Look at the purity of his heart. He was the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During Mi'raj, Rasulullah, it was a dream. Either one of the two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, heard the footsteps of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala in front of him in Jannah. So he could hear the footsteps of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala in front of him in Jannah. So imagine what type of connection Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala had. So it's not the outer appearance of the person, not the color, it's not the wealth, it's not the physical body, but it's the heart. وَلَكِ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah looks at the hearts of the person. Man will be a loser in both this life and the hereafter if he does not rectify his heart and life according to the will and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to enter the hearts of mankind, but only if they are purified. Running one's heart is very easy. Ruining one's heart is very easy. But rectifying it is extremely difficult. Only the person who struggles hard to improve his condition truly knows what a hard task it is. Only the person who struggles hard to improve his condition truly knows and appreciates what a hard task it is and what a difficult road he is on. Such a person notices the smallest pebbles on this road since he is striving hard on it. Whereas the person heedless of all cannot even see the mountains of such a path since he is not even glancing towards this road. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to rectify this heart. A person, it takes years to build this heart and accumulate all the taqwa and all the noor. A person can lose it in a matter of seconds. So let us not ruin this heart and the noor that we have accumulated. We're going to preserve this noor. And we're going to make sure that every time this black dot appears, we got to cleanse and purify this heart. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah bless all of us with a qalbi salim. May Allah give us that himmat and the tawfiq, the ability now that we have to make up our minds and let us now try and genuinely move in the right direction in purifying our hearts before maut strikes and before the game is over. And there's no chance, not even as half a second, to try and make some tawbah istighfar. We have some chance now, make tawbah and istighfar sincerely, repent of our past, and now look at our future. If we were not the lovers of Allah in the past, now we're going to become the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not one, but there are thousands and thousands of examples in history of people, how bad they were, but when made tawbah and istighfar, how pious and how righteous they became. We all have the ability. Allah has given us tawfiq and hidayat. Allah must continue giving us that ability. All that is required from us is not to delay our genuine tawbah and istighfar. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.